Hello and welcome back to Here Come the Sun, your weekly Connecticut Sun podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gothier, and I'm recording on Sunday, July 21st. And dear God, I mean, what a week. You know, that New York Liberty game feels like it was maybe a month ago, but yeah, we had the blue screen of death, we had the WNBA All-Star game, we had Biden dropping out of the presidential race today. I mean, a lot of news, the news that we're not going to get into necessarily on this show. On this episode, we're going to briefly talk about the loss to the New York Liberty on Tuesday. We're going to dig in a bit into the Marina Mabry trade, and then I'm going to talk about the All-Star game. Let's just start with that New York Liberty loss just to get out of the way. So Tuesday, July 16th, finishes up Sun 74, Liberty 82. It's the Sun's last game before the Olympic break. And it kind of felt like, you know, every other game against the Liberty. I don't know. It was a tough watch. I mean, it was a slow start. They let the Liberty jump out to an early lead. You know, Desjardins played well in the third. You know, Breezy looked really good. But once again, like, we just had no answers for Sabrina Ionescu, which is just frustrating to watch. She ended up with 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And, you know, I think maybe playing Burton more in the matchup against Sabrina could have helped. Burton was 1 of 3 in the game. She didn't hit any threes. She had 4 assists. But, you know, she's always good on defense, and she and Desjardins together is, like, great defensive backcourt. Helps against any switching and anything like that, but at the end of the day, there was no stopping Ionescu. Brianna Jones finished up with 17 points in the game. Dewanna Bonner had 8 points. Alyssa Thomas had 16. Desjardins Carrington with 13 and Ty Harris with 11. So, like, not a terrible game from the team, but just, again, no answer for Sabrina Ionescu. And, you know, one big issue with this team that has been an issue all season long, really, is that, you know, the whole team finished the game 2 of 18 from the three-point line. Meanwhile, Sabrina Ionescu was 6 of 11 on her own, and New York was 11 of 27 in the game. You know, with that many more threes and that many more made threes, especially, like, you look at the number taken, right? 18 threes versus 27 threes. I mean, obviously, ours weren't hitting, so it's, like, you know, probably a good thing they got away from them. But at the end of the day, if you're not putting them up, you're not making them. And so, you know, just definitely need to get better from that point of view, especially if you're going to beat a team like New York, who's got someone like Sabrina, who's going to be able to put up 6 in a game, you know, on any given night, especially on a night where New York's missing a bunch of starters. You know, you were hoping for a better game from the Sun. One thing that stood out to them in this game was that they rested Alyssa Thomas late in the game. You know, at the end of the third, the Sun actually fought back and got to a tie, and then Alyssa Thomas was sat for the entire fourth. I don't think it was her call necessarily, and most likely they were resting her ahead of the Olympic break, which makes sense. She has to play in the Olympics, and you want her to be rested. You don't want her to get hurt while she's out there in Paris, so it makes some sense. But I think this was an important game to win, in that, you know, it would have been worth playing her in this one. The Sun were going into this game up in the fourth, with a bunch of New York Liberty starters out, then sure, rest AT. But to do it when they just got back into the game, you know, tying it up was just infuriating. It was tough to watch. Especially because at the end of the game, you know, Alyssa Thomas still led the team in assists. She was 2nd in points. And, you know, ultimately, these games shouldn't be coming down to one player. But it does feel like the Sun system is really built around Alyssa Thomas, and so she's just needed more than most other players, and so it was tough to have her rested. But, you know, hopefully that means that she's gonna go and you know, get a triple double and get that gold medal. But the thing about this game, and why this game matters, and why I say this is an important game, and I think that Emily Adams in the Hartford Current spelled this out perfectly, it's that, first of all, this is coming off of a close loss against the Liberty just a week ago, and they had a bunch of starters out in this game, and so the Sun need to be able to beat the Liberty to get over that hump, more likely than not, anyway. The Liberty beat the Sun in the semifinals last year. They've been beating the Sun in the regular season, and in order to get over that hump, even just mentally, the Sun need to beat the Liberty in the regular season. And the second thing, and this is especially that I saw from Emily Adams, is around seeding. If the Sun end up tied with the Liberty in the standings at the end of the season, say they both finish tie first place or tied second place, the Liberty now have the tiebreaker with the three wins over the Sun winning the season series. And so, you know, you can kiss that home court advantage goodbye. And we've seen how electric the energy has been at the Barclays Center where New York Liberty play. And so that's just not a great sign for this team. So here's hoping coming out of the Olympic break, the Sun get back to a hot start and that in that final matchup with New York, they can win it and get some momentum going into the postseason. But still tough, as always, to be saying again, you know, maybe next time against the New York Liberty. But alas. Let's get to the big news everyone's been talking about. I've gotten a bunch of messages about this across social media, so thank you so much for reaching out. Marina Mabry was traded to the Sun for Rachel Banham and Mariah Jefferson. It's actually reported that Mabry requested this trade from the Sky and specifically said that she wanted to go to Connecticut, which is, you know, which is a great sign, right? I mean, her quote was, "After a while, it's hard. You come out for one thing, and it didn't really end up panning out to be the role, position, everything that you were originally planning on being in. I saw the Sun as an opportunity to get a chance to play with veterans, people who have won a championship." And it makes sense, right? I mean, Mabry, you know, just to give a little background on Mabry, she was drafted 19th overall by the Sparks in 2019. She's been playing with the Sky, and in this season so far as the starting point guard, she's averaging 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and she's had 6 20-plus point games this season. And also in seasons past, she was with the Dallas Wings from 2020 to 2022, and she left Dallas as the 6th all-time 3-point field goal made. She had 162, and she was 15th all-time in assists. She also had a good collegiate career. She played at the University of Notre Dame, and she won the 2018 NCAA National Championship and was also the all-time leader in made threes there. And so, you know, it's exciting. I think she's got a chance to make a really big difference on this team, especially, you know, we just got finished talking about the three-point discrepancy in that game against New York. And so if she can be a big spark in terms of made three-pointers and even just putting shots up so that we can get to that same level of shots created for three-pointers, could be huge. And then when you combine her with some of the great three-point shooters that the Sun have on the team, including Dawana Bonner and Ty Harris, you know, that just creates a way for more shooters on the court at one time and people who are, you know, getting high percentage looks. At the All-Star game, Breonna Jones was actually asked about Marina Mabry, and she said, "We got a chance to talk to her a little bit. I think she's going to fit in well. The energy and tenacity that she brings offensively and defensively, I think she's going to fit right in with the way we play in Connecticut." And, you know, I think that when it comes to style of play and you know, that intensity, that definitely seems to match up well. Like I said, that fit. You know, Connecticut ranks 10th in three-pointers made and attempted per game and 9th in three-point percentage. Meanwhile, Marina Mabry has got 2.3 makes from the three-point range in per game, which is 7th in the WNBA. And she's shot, you know, in her previous season, she shot above 40% from three. This season, she's taken a bit of a dip on the three-point shots, mostly because she's playing in a new system, and it seems like the Chicago system this year is really built around her being more of a facilitator and getting points for other people. Also, if you want to compare her to Banham, who she was traded for, you know, Banham obviously just set that record. Our last episode was titled Banham Makes History. So tough to see Rachel leave now, but, you know, according to Kevin Pelton, who's a ESPN senior writer, when he was writing about this trade, he said that Mabry is just a much more complete player than Rachel Banham is. He was quoted saying, "She's got enough playmaking ability to play point next to perimeter stopper Dejanay Carrington and enough size to play next to Ty Harris in Connecticut's most dangerous offensive backcourts." And so, like, slotting her in to maybe, you know, be more a defensive-minded lineup or a more offensive-minded lineup, she's got the ability to do both. So that's exciting. Her first game with the team will be on Friday, August 16th, against the Dallas Wings. She also was just at the All-Star Game festivities for All-Star Weekend. She was in both the three-point contest and the skills challenge, our first time seeing her in a Sun jersey. I think the orange looked good, so excited to have her on the team. Our All-Stars that were there, DeWanna Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, Brianna Jones, they all seemed really excited for her and were cheering her on during her events. And so I think it's going to be a really good fit, and I'm really excited to see what Mabry brings to especially the offense for this team, since the defense is pretty set and the defense is really good already. The other thing that went out in this trade was some picks. So again, I said that the Sun traded Rachel Banham and Mariah Jefferson for Marina Mabry. The Sun are also sending out their 2025 first round pick and the pick swap for the 2026 first round to the Sky, and they're getting back the Sky's 2025 second round pick. That was a lot of me naming gears and picks, but basically the 2026 pick is the one that I'm the most worried about, or not worried, but the one that could have the most impact. If basically the way this works is that if the Sun have a better draft pick than the Sky, then the Sky will get to pick up that pick and use that one instead. So if the Sky ended up with the 10th pick and the Sun ended up with the 3rd pick for 2026, the Sky could swap and take that better pick. If the Sun aren't able to keep all the free agents going into that 2026 season, that could be tough to not be able to have that high first round pick in that draft. When it comes to the other two picks, the 2025 first round pick for the Sun that's going to the Sky is likely not going to be that great of a pick. The Sun are going to continue to be really good this season. They're not going to end up with a high draft pick, and so that probably won't matter. And also that second round pick for 2025, there's not a lot of players that make rosters off of the second round from the WNBA draft, and so unlikely for that to make a huge difference. That first round pick, though, the 2025, it could end up being helpful depending on where they fall. There obviously aren't that many teams in the league, and so you could lock into someone. For example, we just talked about it, but Marina Mabry was drafted 19th overall. So, a late first round pick might be helpful, but ultimately that's not someone who's going to be a massive difference maker for the Sun. So not the biggest loss in terms of things to send out in order to get a talent like Marina Mabry onto the team. Mabry wasn't the only signing news. The Sun also signed Caitlin Bickle to a 7-day contract. The 7-day contract ends on August 21st, so it doesn't, it doesn't start before the game starts. It starts after they come back from the Olympic break. 7-day contracts are super temporary. Sometimes they're used just to kind of fill out the roster to make sure you're hitting minimums. And sometimes they're, a way to test out a player and see if they're ready. So a little bit on Bickle. Caitlin Bickle is a 6'1" forward out of Baylor University. And she actually overlapped one season with Dejanay there, so they have a little bit of experience playing together. She actually is also not necessarily totally new to the Sun. She signed a training camp contract with them in 2023, and so she played a little bit with the team and was part of that like preseason squad, like workout, trying to make the team, but actually didn't make the team that year, which is not super unlike most rookies who try to join the W, it's a really hard league to get into. That said, she was playing professionally in Greece this past season. She averaged 22.1 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists in 13 games. I'm going to be honest and say I don't know much about the talent level in the Greek women's league, but regardless, those are elite. That's elite scoring, and hopefully some of that will translate, and she'll be able to get on the court and have some good games with the Sun. But kind of, we'll see. And ultimately, with that 7-day contract, this could just be a stopgap before making another big move, trying to add someone else to the roster ahead of that trade deadline. So we will see. Now let's jump over to the All-Star Game. I already mentioned it that Marina Mabry was in the three-point contest in the skills competition. She obviously didn't win those, but it was cool to see a Sun player in there. Without her, we wouldn't have had any. So that was fun to watch. And in the WNBA All-Stars versus Team USA game. The All-Stars won 117-109. And man, that game was a ton of fun to watch. You know, we didn't get a bunch of Alyssa Thomas versus Dawana Bonner. I definitely would have liked to see more of that matchup. There was a great clip on the Sun social media just showing some intense defense that Dawana Bonner was playing against Alyssa Thomas. But unlike the NBA All-Star game, this was a really serious game. There was no time for those fun one-on-one matchups like you saw Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown during the NBA All-Star game. The W one was serious. They were really out there competing, and I saw a lot of people online like really shocked about that and really surprised by it. And I wasn't sure if it would be as competitive as it was, but it was a ton of fun to watch. Bonner got the start for Team WNBA All-Stars. She was 2 for 6 in the game. She had a three-pointer made, 5 points. Brianna Jones, same team. She was 3 for 6 in the game. Alyssa Thomas, playing for Team USA, was 2 for 2 with 5 boards and 2 assists. I think I'm really interested to see how Team USA ends up using Alyssa Thomas, because they have a bunch of really talented guards who are used to playing with the ball in their hands. And so Alyssa Thomas probably won't be that main distributor like she's used to being for the Sun, or especially last season. And so I bet that you know, when you're looking at her stats and watching her in games, you know, I would look out for a bunch of rebounds, a lot of those incredible passes she makes to start breaks. She had one great like touchdown pass in the All-Star game that ended up being thrown away immediately, which is a bummer, but I would look for those, and I would look for, you know, big points in transition like she does for the Sun, you know, getting the ball, pushing the pace, getting straight to the bucket, putting it up and one. But I would say there's probably not going to be as many as assists as we're used to seeing from her with Team USA. I also think, you know, people are overreacting to the Team USA loss. First of all, the Team USA lost to the All-Star team last season, and it was not a colossal deal. I mean, it's ultimately, for me, when I think about it, right, I'm like, this is the first game that Team USA is playing together. It's a massive exhibition game that was taken really seriously and is against what I think is probably the toughest team they'll play all summer, right? I mean, the WNBA All-Star team was a very, very good team. This isn't the same as playing like a select team where it's usually like younger players or players who, you know, wouldn't make the Team USA. You know, for the USA men's, some of the select team was some like college players and things who are highly skilled players, and some of them maybe, you know, are on like the under 21 team or the under 23 team. You know, playing against the WNBA All-Stars is most likely the toughest team that Team USA is going to play all summer. And so I don't think there's any reason to overreact. You know, I think they had lessons learned. They've got things they'll take away from it, but ultimately I would be absolutely baffled, shocked out of my mind to see Team USA not win gold, you know, at this Olympics, and they probably will. So I would not overreact to this game, and I, you know, look forward to seeing some of the other exhibition games and things that they do ahead of the Olympics actually getting started. Couple other things I wanted to bring up. One is just, I'm sure many of you saw the Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas Slam magazine cover. Just so lovely to see them. I think it was Tarika from NBC Sports was tweeting about how it's just great to see them get the recognition they deserve. The Sun are not the team that gets talked about the most on SportsCenter or, you know, on these big national shows. And so it's great to see them getting the cover of Slam, which, you know, has had so many iconic covers, especially to have the two of them together is just, you know, it's beautiful. The cover was great. There's also really great photos inside the article itself. I don't have a physical copy yet, but I'm sure, you know, but online you can see a bunch of the other photos in there that were great. And Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner put out a bunch of the other ones on their social media as well. And just, you know, celebration of their love and their play and, you know, this team. It was just, it was incredible to watch. I've pre-ordered that magazine. I'm going to put it up on my wall. I've got a, in my home office, I've got a handful of, you know, sports memorabilia things up on the wall, some newspapers and things. So definitely getting that to put up there. They also had t-shirts with the cover on it. I'm probably not going to get a shirt because at this point my closet is slowly turning into just a collection of sports t-shirts and I'm trying to avoid that look. So probably going to avoid the t-shirt, but I'll drop the link in the notes that you can get shirts and magazines for yourself because it's really cool and it's really exciting to see this team celebrated in that way and to see those two in particular celebrated in that way. Only other random note I've got is just that Aubrey Plaza, you know, known especially from Parks and Rec and a million other things, Aubrey Plaza tore her ACL during the ahead of the All-Star game. She was playing knockout at the Phoenix Mercury training facility that they just unveiled. And she was sitting courtside with Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe when they mentioned it over the broadcast. And I just think that's great. And that feels like the most Aubrey Plaza thing ever. And just on another note about the All-Star game, like, this game felt huge. It looked like a massive party in Phoenix. I'm so glad that the game was so competitive. Arika Gumbawale had such an incredible game winning that MVP trophy. And like, I don't know, it's fun when All-Star games are actually fun. You know, I've never been to one, but it's not something that I tend to get excited about watching for other sports, you know, in the NBA or in Major League Baseball. Like I missed the Major League Baseball one that just happened. And so, yeah, it's really great that the WNBA one was actually exciting. They put on a great show. The production value looked really good. So just, yeah, a wonderful, wonderful All-Star game that also featured three Connecticut Sun players. Okay, four Connecticut Sun players with Marina Mabry in the, three-point contest and the, skills challenge. That's going to do it for me for this episode. Make sure that you are subscribed to the show wherever you get podcasts, including on YouTube. We have a very, very special guest joining the show next week, so you don't want to miss that. So make sure you're subscribed so you get that straight into your, you know, on your devices as soon as it comes out. Also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, like all podcasters say, please leave us a review. You know, it really does help other Sun fans find the show, helps it, you know, get boosted in searches. So please do that. Please leave a review. And also, as always, I want to hear from you. Be sure to connect with us on social media at CTSunPod. You can email the show at CTSunPod@gmail.com. And if you want to hear your voice on the show, you want to be the first listener to have your voice on the show, give us a call at 617-903-7683. You can leave a voicemail and I will play it on the show. Thank you again to everyone for listening. I will be sure to drop links in the show notes for all of the reporting that we leaned on to make this episode. And as always, thank you so, so much for listening. It means a bunch to me. That's all for today. Make sure you tune in next week. And thank you so much for listening to Here Come the Sun.